sterner. Look at sterner.
95.7 The Fan presents...
Clint Sterner is the last man standing. Now, who is Clint Sterner?
His two strongest strengths, he's competitive and he's smart.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I'm going to put my hands on this bathroom counter and see if I can't twerk a little bit, see what it looks like, see what it feels like.
The Drive is live for Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, he is, and he's dirty too, y'all. He's dirty. I just got to do it at the in the bathroom at the counter now that I'm married with a couple of kids. You know what I mean? I gotta let my wife see it. Look at him. He's right here, y'all. It's Dirty's Daily. It's powered. It's powered every day. Today it is powered by that man, Hunter Brown. A little thirsty Thursday baseball yesterday. The Astros put it on the White Sox, 6-2. Hunter Brown had a little rough second inning. He wasn't real proud of it. Here's Hunter Brown after yesterday's win.
I mean, honestly, I was kind of dragging my blanket a little bit after the second inning. I couldn't believe that. I mean, and that was, I'm better than that, you know, than to do that. But I mean, that was unbelievable, honestly. And if Pena can't, you know, make an out on the play, nobody can. So, you know, they earned it. I mean, it is what it is. I was really not happy about that inning. It cost me like 100 pitches basically in that inning alone. I mean, obviously that's hyperbole, but I mean, I just... So, yeah, I don't know if I got angry or I don't know. I just was better than that. I felt like I was better than them. That's kind of my mindset there.
Love Hunter Brown. Got to love Hunter Brown. I know my partner here was real critical in that second inning, but he pulled it together and got us a quality start and got us a dub. And
said the same things Hunter said.
That's right. That's right. Blanket. That's right. You said it without the blanket, which is the key here. If you've got whining ass kids at the house, I'm going to tell you, one thing I said before I had kids is, boy, when I have them, they ain't going to be them whining kind. I tell you, I got a whiner. I've got a whiner at the house, and I'm going to abuse that saying, the phrase, not her, the phrase. Okay. All right?
I was kind of dragging my blanket.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been around. I've been around the block, and I have. When it comes to phrases, man, I feel like I've heard it all, especially these kind. I mean, that sounds like an old Southern saying if I've ever heard it. I mean, I feel like I've heard them all. I've never heard dragging my blanket.
That's the first time I've heard it. It stopped me in my tracks every single – it just did it again. I knew it was coming. It stopped me in my tracks. That's the first time I've heard it.
Ron, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to get put in a doghouse over this one. I cannot wait for my wife to drag her blanket around the house, and I'm going to start pouting and get all mopey, and I'm going to hit her with that. But you going to drag that blanket around all night?
I was kind of dragging my blanket.
Yeah, you're going to drag that blanket around all day, bring all of us with you? You want all of us to get a blanket and just do it with you? Is that what you want? I cannot wait.
You're remixing it. You're adding all kinds of stuff to it. You're adding on to it.
I mean, it's just...
Try it with Linda first.
I could use it with her. Next time I have to get in her ass a little bit, she pouts a bit. She either gets really mad at me and wants to like punch or she drags her blanket. I will use it. Absolutely. I'll use it on my 5-year-old too. My 4-year-old, I guess.
She ain't quite five yet. Maybe just stay away from Lauren.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then for everybody out there that loves the Drive for multiple reasons, I know you love it for these kinds of moments, right? Now everybody out there listening can use the dragging your blanket. Hopefully you're not the one dragging your blanket this weekend. Hopefully you're using that on someone. But Ron, this one I heard. This one I've heard. You brought this back to the surface for me. Oh, yeah. I've heard it before, but it's been a minute. You're a lie and the truth ain't in you. Mm-hmm. Who were we talking about earlier when you hit him with that?
Somebody texted in something about
Will Anderson?
Nobody cares about his production as long as they win.
Yeah, you're a lie and the truth ain't in you. That's a good one. Damn, that's good. That's a little more specific usage, though. It's not just the blanket. It's a little bit more specific.
I don't think you should try that one on Lauren either.
Well, I mean, she's not going to understand it, but my 4.5 fits that. She fits that. She will lie dead to your face. Ain't no doubt about it. So we're going to try to nip that in the bud here. Hey, I don't know if you guys have heard about what's going on at North Carolina. I'm not talking about the win versus TCU in week one or week zero, whatever the hell it was. When they went over to, where'd they play that at? In Dublin, in Ireland. I mean, I don't know that there's much of a conversation around this, Ron, so I don't want to force you into a tough conversation here, but damn, this is, I don't know if you've had this thing outlined to you exactly what's going on and kind of what's new. I'll tell you how recent it is. I just, in the break, I popped open Facebook and it said SEC Country. SEC Country is talking about Georgia somehow encouraging the commissioner of the SEC to threaten to remove LSU from the conference over this. I mean, and not look, I'm not saying that can happen. So all my Tigers out there, relax. I'm not. I don't need you to come at me. I'm just saying that's how serious this thing is.
Yeah, that's what they've been talking about.
I mean, that's how serious this thing is in Baton Rouge. But here's what's going on in college. And I don't know why. The reason I bring up the LSU stuff is because I feel like it's kind of masking what's going on in North Carolina a little bit. If this weren't Bill Belichick, I believe things would be a totally different. But here's what's going on recently in North Carolina. It's going to hell in a handbasket ultimately, right? There's been an ongoing investigation into Bill Belichick and North Carolina's football program, and it took a major turn. Here's the deal. If you don't remember, I'll remind you. They hired the GM, general manager, Michael Lombardi, which was obviously has worked with Bill before. He was $1.5 million a year. I believe he was the highest paid general manager in college football. And he has resigned within the last couple of days. He resigns after being placed on administrative leave July the 27th. I believe yesterday was the day. I think it was the 3rd when he actually resigned. And the investigation is ongoing and involves another prominent member of the North Carolina football coaching staff, which puts little Bill, Steve Belichick, who's been on leave since August the 6th, it puts him now in the spotlight. That's right. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about sex. We're talking about, I mean, this isn't one of those where I had an assistant coach make a bad decision. This isn't one of those where I had an employee kind of behind the scenes was fooling with one of my players or something. This is, it seems to be, at least let's go allegedly, it seems to be, Ron, like just throughout the organization with what's going on. Lombardi, his whole deal, the whole investigation started with an HR issue. I don't know if it was he or somebody else, but I think he was fooling with another staff member. The word on the street allegedly right now is Steve Belichick. They're investigating him for using drugs, on the job, as well as potentially providing drugs for at least one player. They're questioning about that.
The plan was, I believe, when Bill took over, was for Stephen to be the heir apparent.
Oh yeah,
that was the.
Yeah,
I told you.
I'm gonna assume that's done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, this is just the most recent, Ron, for me. I don't know why people find it so difficult in today's world to be critical of Bill Belichick. And I mean, it is just since Tom Brady left, Bill Belichick has been an absolute mess show.
With the exception of the win last week, it has absolutely been.
I mean, let's be honest. That was pissy poor.
Their schedule was so tough, they're going to get blasted throughout.
But I mean, it's hiring defensive minded head coaches as your OC. The some of the decisions that he's made that weren't necessarily highlighted the way they should, and now he gets to North Carolina between his girlfriend that was the center of attention last year to now his.
It seems mild compared to the rest of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he would pay good money to bring that story back to the forefront wouldn't he? This investigation is going to end up being a major, major problem for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Michael Lombardi, who left his TV job to come take this role and has been Bill's right-hand man for a long time since, the Browns and the Patriots, obviously. Yeah, this is you got the guy who you pegged as the heir apparent. That was a part of the conversation when he got there.
Yep.
Apparently is being accused of multiple things with drugs.
Potentially providing a player with drugs.
Yeah, so I said multiple. I mean, himself,
what Ryan Leaf got popped for back when he was working at A&M Kingsville or wherever it was.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you talked about this with Lane. I wonder how Carolina feels about the publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Bill ain't buying into that.
Because they brought, North Carolina, we're talking about North Carolina more than we talked about it since Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. But I don't know. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's the way they want it to be or it's a good thing. Like, it is.
It's the wildest part for me, Ron, is you know, when you look at like the Parcells, Belichick, kind of that whole their whole MO, if you will, it's no party boys, no distractions, no this, no that, and everything that they preach and they stood for, the opposite's going on in Bill Belichick's program right now. Obviously.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the wildest part to me is this is a guy that literally was known to be one of the toughest, not disciplinarians, but more of like a just not deal with any distraction, any level of distraction, like to a fault. And then you fast forward to North Carolina and he's got the girl on the sideline all year last year. She's running his PR, whatever. And now your son's obviously are allegedly involved in some drugs and feeding it to a player, potentially your general manager, who's your right hand man, has done something from an HR perspective with
something within the program felt like he had to step down without getting, because he's not getting paid.
And but bro, it's the two people that are closest to Bill. It's the two people that, like, if Bill came in and said, look, you can hire everybody else, but I gotta have my general manager and my son as a DC and a future head coach. It's those guys. It's not somebody that, hey, after year one, they had to replace the receivers coach or something. It's the guys that are closest to Bill Belichick. I don't know. I find it's fascinating to understand kind of how he drove the ship in New England and how he won titles and how that was kind of the standard, to now what he's allowing to happen at North Carolina is absolutely wild. I cannot believe that it's not the one of the A stories on TV. Especially this past week when there's no NFL and there's, but well, you know, we'll see.
Well, it doesn't look like this is like we're coming to the end of this.
No. The articles I'm reading are every paragraph is ending with investigation is ongoing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, the one person that obviously looks better with every one of these moves is Tom Brady.
Bob Kraft for firing him.
Like, yeah, the timing of Kraft making the move.
Yeah, making the move. I mean, and that comes with him having Vrabes. So it is a crazy. That's what Danny Cannell was kind of alluding to. We talked to earlier, like the off the field stuff in college football is getting out of hand. Hopefully, they need the games to get here quick. All right, coming up, Astros news. They're sending it. You know, I'll be honest, Clint Tyler, it's kind of been a while. Now, obviously, this goes against Clint's prediction coming out of the break, but another injury here to an important piece. We'll let you know what this means and hear the latest about the injury from the player. We'll get you the lineups out, Astros news as they get ready for a big series against the Diamondbacks. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. The Astros, they get ready for the Arizona Diamondbacks as they continue to host here at home. We'll see if Tyler gets out there. His wife beat him to the punch, so congratulations to Psycho Megan. He's able to get out there before Tyler. It's really a damn shame, just
Psycho
to be honest.
Psycho Megan.
He's just getting out of hand here, man. Now he's just doing it out of spite at this point.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to one of these D-backs games, but I'm going to one of the Royals games when they come back home in a couple of weeks.
Gotcha. I think that's one that Ron should go.
I want him to. Sure. I don't know if he will, but I want you to go with me.
Sure you are, man. I just don't. I don't know what these guys.
You'll see.
You've been through worse than this.
A lot
that's
worse.
All worse. You've been through worse than this.
Early 2010s rough.
Come on, man. That had that damn heel. You've been out here. You've been through worse than this.
I missed
you. You're just not. This is a first place ball club. The potential MVP.
You're not lying.
Although I will just say, that damn triple crown dream is really starting to waver here. I think he's only tied for the lead in one category.
Damn. I didn't even realize that.
Oh,
days ago, he was leading all of them.
I think he's
right there. Everybody relax. He's
right
there.
He's right there. I'm just saying he's got twos instead of one next to his name, I believe, in average and RBIs.
Well, it would be unlike an Astro to not keep that thing interesting.
He'll go like 4-for-4 tonight.
Need it. He is in the lineup, by the way. Some news before we get to the lineup here, Clint, because I do think this – I think it feels better once you hear from the player. This came out a little bit earlier. The Astros, they've placed their left-handed reliever, Stephen Okert, on the 15-day IL with a right hamstring strain. This is retroactive to September 1st. And in a corresponding move, they've had to bring the King up. The King. Brian King.
I'm not falling for it. I see you looking at me.
I'm just saying the King. They had to. The King. Not just the King, but the King. The King is back. Huh?
Change that I to an H.
With that, man, the long flowing hair 074. The King is back. Brian King is back.
Hard watch for you, boy. Hard watch for you, boy.
He gets in tonight. But, Clint, Stephen Okert said he described it as a minor issue. It's minor and hopes it won't keep him out too long. Okert felt something while stretching and getting ready to pitch during Wednesday's game.
Yeah, get you a little. I mean, look, get you a little rest. He's had a hell of a workload this year. Yeah. I mean, he's on the like literally when he's on the mound right now in the biggest moments of the year. The commentators are talking about how many innings he's pitched and his usage and all that. So hey, look. One, no surprise that you didn't have a little that you had a little hamstring tweak. But go ahead and take you 15 days and rest and maybe you know, give that arm a break for a couple weeks and get ready for that stretch run and in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll just say they are still just two games up right now in the division. And so that is still a race, a game and a half behind the White Sox, but still two games up in the division. And I'll just say he is obviously important back there because, one, like, we just walking into it, man. We've been through months of this. The bullpen's going to have to pitch, and they're probably going to have to fill more innings than most teams do, especially most teams that are competing for the postseason. And he was a guy, as you said, heavy workload. He was a guy that they trusted and that they used a lot and one of their better guys back there. There aren't just a bunch of them that they just trust back there. I mean, Brian King is one that they've had to just move on out. And I don't know if there's a lot of trust there, but besides him, Blue Ball, Hader, and at this point, Brian Abreu is pitching pretty well. You take him out of the mix, that is concerning to lose that weapon right now while you're still in the thick of it. But, as you said, if he can get some rest and maybe save a little bit on that arm, become a little bit more fresher. But he is an important piece, yeah. Clint, because there's not too many guys down there they trust.
Well, for the player and the playoffs, this is probably a good thing. It's a blessing in disguise. Now, how bad does it hurt getting to the playoffs?
Yeah,
We'll see.
I mean, in October.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully. I just like to see you any time of the year, to be honest with you, Bub.
I mean, at any point.
But, yeah, so, look, I mean, it could end up being a blessing in disguise, assuming that it doesn't hurt us to a point where we make this division or wild card more interesting than it needs to be. By the way, Yordan Alvarez is still leading in the American League.
In what?
All of them. Your average 316. He's tied in home runs with Caminero. Neither one of those guys have hit a home run, it seems like, in forever. They've been tied at 37.
Well, that felt. What is the kid from Tampa? He must had a bad night last night.
That's Caminero.
No, in average. The other is Simpson, I believe. He's
He's 309, and Yordan's 316.
He must have gone over.
Yordan's a go-for
And then Yordan is 94. Pete Alonso's 94 on the RBI train. Yeah, so it's definitely, to your point, though, it's definitely tightened up now.
That stat up in the middle of the game yesterday. Who was watching it? It was tied for first, 2-2.
Yeah. The average was a good runaway at one point. Tight home runs have been tight. He had a nice little lead and runs batted in the American, and now all of a sudden Pete Alonso and company, they're catching up. So, look, again, Yordan Alvarez, I mean, Chandler Simpson, if you can't hold off Chandler Simpson, what are we doing here?
Chandler Simpson, fast guy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Infield hits. Miles Straw, though.
Be nice for him to start getting hot again.
Though. Yeah. Well, he's had his little lull here, hadn't he?
Yeah. I know it's an odd lull, but he's still hitting like 290. But
it's a Yordan lull.
Yeah, it's a Yordan lull.
It's a new thing.
Certainly yes, it feels like a power outage. By the way, they're the new level. Can't do that anymore. They left. They left the WWE. They're on the new level. Yep. Changed their names.
Who is that?
He played the New Day. Yes, it is. Changed their name to New Level.
I had no idea the context of it besides the promo we were running when we went FM.
Oh, yeah. You know, the boss loves him some wrestling.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Threw that one in there. I like it. By the way, the lineup tonight, Jeremy Pena in there. Yordan, we'll see if he can get hot, Yordan, again. Isak Paredes is hitting third and batting third, or hitting third and playing third. Altuve behind him. Still working on a nickname for him. Clint Bavarsho is in center field tonight. Christian Walker behind him.
Big swing by Dalton.
That's terrible.
DeVar, and then Christian Walker is in the lineup. I hated that one the most. Taylor Trammell. Has Taylor Trammell reached nickname status yet? No. Yiner Diaz catching, and somebody who has not reached nickname status but has one anyway, Lamont Wade Jr., and then obviously Christian Javier is.
Yeah, you know, nickname-wise, like, I feel like.
He's got to be Tram, right? Is that what they call him?
It's got to be TT, right?
Not baseball players.
I feel like family
calls him TT.
Look, here's the deal.
It's Tram.
The only guy that I think we've given a nickname to that was not a plug and play starter in the lineup in the deal was White Boy Chaz, and it did not end well for him.
He should have been a plug and play. And he was during the postseason.
I agree. But I think with the Astros, you can't be a rotational outfielder and get a no.
Well,
dang. Sorry, Tram.
There's something there with Dalton Varsho, though, man. I hadn't done much thinking about it, to be honest with you. I just hadn't dedicated enough time to it yet.
Set aside about 28 minutes.
Well, when it hits, it'll hit, and it'll be a one that sticks.
Like WBC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big swing by
Luxury
Dalton.
Lance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one. What else we got?
Got a few.
Los.
Yeah.
Not super creative.
Yeah,
that's just the way it should be.
That's well said. Leave it there.
Why did you say it so hard?
I like it.
Straight faced.
I'm just telling
and
you.
And lean back with his coffee. That's just the way it should be.
That's just it. That's
just a damn thing. He needs to go and have it legally changed.
That's right.
Just that.
We ain't playing no piddly ass game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see if Lowe's, is he almost ready? Is he almost ready to get back? It is September. All right, there it is. The Astros, as they get themselves ready to go. All right. We'll look at a little bit last night, man. We talked about Deion. Is it over? Will they pull one out? But before that, how will this thing go with the AFC South? We'll discuss that coming up.
Ain't no static here.
That'll be a drop, Cal.
Tyler's ready, mark that.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on a Friday. Enjoy, hopefully everybody's out there getting started, getting ready to enjoy their holiday weekend. It was raining a little bit earlier, but it looks pretty good, at least where we are, outside. So, everybody, if you're traveling, hopefully you're safe. I know a lot of people getting up out of here, going to the hill country, going.
Yeah, baby. Houston's playground. You know that's happening. You know what's going on.
There you go. Be safe. Have a good time as well. Shout out to our guy, Danny Cannell, who joined us, gave us a little bit on the college football. You missed that. That was about 3:40 earlier. Find that on the Odyssey app to check back in on what he had to say. And if you're a Texas fan, you will love what he had to say. If you're an A&M fan, you will hate what he had to say.
Yeah, I'm not sure we should have Danny back on. Just kidding.
You meant that too, man. Eight wins on them Aggies.
I didn't like anything he was saying today, but I love Danny. Brings it.
Tough schedule this year, huh, Bob?
I guess.
Tougher.
I mean, it's just tough being an Aggie.
He had Texas had 9 wins with their schedule, too. So, yeah, it was interesting. But good to hear from Danny. Hopefully we'll hear from him throughout the season. All right, Clint. I know we do T-Mill's best bets every night. We will tonight as well, as he'll try to get himself closer to the green tonight. But, Clint, I was looking at this, and I was looking at, you know, a little parlay action. there was a parlay action on the AFC South, fellas.
Oh,
and okay. And you had to take all the win totals. You had to take the overs. All right, the Texans, they lead the division 9.5 wins. The Jags right behind them 8.5. The Colts at 7.5, excuse me, and the Titans at 6.5. If you had to, first off, would you take all of these? Like, do you feel good about the overs on these, or are there some teams in here that would make you be like, hell no, I ain't doing this?
Well, at Tennessee, 6.5 wins. I need 7 out of Tennessee. That's hard for me to. It's hard for
there
me.
Is a yeah Tennessee jump. There is a real,
it's a big number.
That's a different feel about that team than I thought I was going to have. Their camp and preseason, it's not looked the way that I thought it was going to look. I thought they would have a chance not to be a surprise team, like surprise, like go to the playoffs, but with Saleh and Daboll with Cam, and they made some moves. I thought they meant this is everything, the reports you hear and what it is, like there's questionings of Cam big time, and their preseason has been good. So yeah, Tennessee feels different. I feel like that win total feels very, I mean, I'm almost tempted to just, if I were Tyler, bet the under on that.
The fake Oilers.
I feel good about the Texans. I don't know.
Are these real numbers? Are these real lines?
Real numbers, yeah.
Houston Texans, 9.5 wins. Jacksonville Jaguars, 8.5 wins. Colts, 7.5 wins. And Tennessee Titans, 6.5 wins.
Yes.
I like the over on the Texans. I like the over on the Jags.
You do?
I like the over on the Colts. And I'd take the under on the Titans. I think everybody beats up on the Titans.
See, I feel like the Colts I just get the feel the Colts are about to be one of those teams that steps back. I just don't.
They were on track to win 14 games last year.
They were.
They can take a step back and still win 8.
Yeah, I mean they were. I mean that's they. I think that's what they end up winning.
Did they end up winning 14 games?
No. They end up
they
losing
win 8.
They end up losing the rest of them. They started out, I believe, 8-2,
I know they didn't win no damn 14
and
games.
And then I think they went ahead and lost the last 9 or the last 7. I think they started out 8-2 and then went ahead and lost the rest of their games to roll out. I do not have a. Again, I was surprised by the Colts last year. I do not have a great feel. Honest to God, I feel like the Texans are the only team that I feel extremely confident about getting the over on this.
I mean, you don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars can get 9 after what they did last year?
I think they could. I don't. I don't know how to feel about Jacksonville. Jacksonville is one of the most difficult teams in the AFC for me to judge.
I'll tell you how to feel.
I know how you feel, Tyler. They're one of the most difficult teams for me because I believe in what I saw last year with the combination of the coach and the quarterback. But I don't know if I believe it so much so that they'll have a season where they turn the football, you know, they're able to turn people over the way they were with their defense last year. I think ETN may be a bigger loss than maybe they're anticipating. So I don't 13 wins. That was a magical season for them last year. And I think they're going to be in playoff contention. So 8.5 probably works. I don't know that I'm very comfortable. By the way, Tyler, I would not do this parlay on the overs. On this, by the way, yeah, the Titans, and then I don't know how to judge the Jags.
I would go over Texans, over Jags, and then I could be talked into an under with the Colts and an under with the Titans. But if I were putting money on it today, I'd go over with the top 3, under with the Titans, and keep it moving.
Yeah. So you believe this is a pretty good division? If you have the feel that
I think it's better. I think it's better at first glance. I think it. Since I've been doing radio here, we just poo-poo the division.
Yeah,
because it's been so bad. I do think.
Oh, it's much better. Yeah,
I do. Yes, I do think the division is much better than it once was when it was, figured to be one of the worst in football. Yes,
where they were a one participant in the playoff division.
I really like Shane Steichen in Indianapolis, so it's hard for me to go against that. I would go over on those top three and under in the Tennessee game. Yeah. And I like Cam, but I just. Mm.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna be a tough out. I thought they were gonna be a team that was a tough out. They could be picking number one again. That's the way this thing is.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel that strongly about it, just because I do like Daboll, and I think you know, the former head coach that's there with Saleh. I do out of the offensive coordinator combinations that are offensive coordinators that he had with the Jets. I like Daboll better than the two guys that he had at that point anyway. So. It could be better. I mean, we look, it's the preseason. I mean, who the hell knows what's going on in the preseason?
Yeah, Cornbread, I think the Colts take a step back and Tennessee gets better. Colts could be in line to get Manning. Like, I don't think the Colts are going to drop to number one pick status, but I don't know. I think Shane may be in some potential trouble, potentially, if it goes out. What about last night? Just Colorado? Colorado got a dub, 14-13. Yeah. Or whatever that, 14-13 last night on the road at Georgia Tech. Surprise. Were you surprised by that game in Colorado going out on the road?
Absolutely. Before the game ever started, if you weren't listening to the show yesterday, obviously, I'm not real high on the Colorado Buffaloes and Deion right now. But I'm going to tell you that watching that game last night, and the fact that they came out on top, it was an ugly game. It was a week one game. We hadn't been real physical in training camp, kind of game. Hadn't had much live action, I guess is a better way to put it, in a game. When I was watching, and to then end the game with a touchdown pass from your young quarterback. In 40 something seconds left on the clock when that happened?
Yeah, 37, yeah.
And then to go down and legitimately not have a kicker miss a field goal, not have the execution of the snap and the hold. No, a guy legitimately comes off the end, you know, hugs the end of the line of scrimmage and blocks it, blocks the field goal to win the game. A 45-yard field goal that would have won it. To go on the road, to have your young quarterback in the biggest moment of the game throw a touchdown, to then have your team make a play to win the game as time expired, that's not only a win and not only a really good win, Georgia Tech on the road like that, but that is the kind of win that can catapult you into having a great season. Like the momentum that you can legitimately pull from that versus – having just an ugly game on both sides and you end up losing it, like the momentum that Prime can gain off of that win, I think is very, very real. That was a sloppy, messy game where they rushed for almost 200 yards, but they end up, their young quarterback throws a touchdown in clutch time. They can build off that, no doubt.
That was to me, it was surprising, yes, but I think there are some. There's even some hope that you take away from it, not just because you won the game, but some things we saw. Clint, they have been struggling running the football since he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's always, even when Shadur was there, they didn't have any running. Like you said, man, they were running the ball at will. They just screwed themselves a couple of times when they got in the red zone or near it. And then their defense sucked at stopping the run last year and just sucked in general. This defense gave up 42 points a game. Times last year. And 43 total touchdowns in 12 games. They were averaging giving up over 5.5 yards a carry last year.
Well,
and they come in and they stop Georgia Tech, who ran the football pretty well last year.
Well, I mean, Georgia Tech, I mean, your head coach is an offensive lineman. Their head coach is a guy that Keelan Rutledge here, the first-round draft pick for the Texans, just gives all the praise to in terms of making him who he is today. I mean, that is like Georgia Tech, and I'm not saying they're going to be that this year, but Georgia Tech is a team that prides themselves on winning in the trenches and running the football. And what did they rush for, 50-something yards?
I think
50-something yards. You outrushed them by damn near four times. I mean, that was I agree with you, Ron. That was impressive.
And then the young quarterback stunk all night, and then out of nowhere, he just started making throws. He came into that final drive with 64 yards passing.
Yeah.
and then drove him right down. And like that, he made some big throws.
Yeah, the touchdown throw was big. I mean, but that's why I say this game for him could be a huge momentum boost, just because you've got a young, inexperienced quarterback, and he didn't play well. Now he had several drops, but he didn't play exceptionally well. Obviously, it was ugly all night long, and then all of a sudden, the big moment, you make the throw, it makes everything else irrelevant, and you can grow from it. So. It's a little easier to go to meetings and watch all that first 3.5 quarters of crappy play, knowing that touchdown pass is going to come at the end, and that's how we're gonna end the meeting. Makes it a little easier, man. So that was a big win by Buff Colorado and Prime and a young quarterback for sure.
5 o'clock fire coming up as the Astros get ready for another contending team coming into town. We'll get you all the news and notes that you need to get ready for that. And the latest, LSU versus the SEC, another ruling. We'll catch you up on where things are as they stand. Renegotiations on Tank Dell's contract. We'll let you know the latest on all of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.